Together to worship God. We're going to begin this morning a series of lessons on holy ground. Before we begin our lesson, there's a couple of things that I want to tell you about, remind you about, that I did not make slides for. One is our movie night, which will be next week, third Sunday, movie night, and that will be the movie Steps of Faith. Brian will be showing that at 5 o'clock here in the auditorium. The other one is that we have a for our fourth Sunday fellowship this month, we're going to be doing a pizza and singing. And so just come out for the fellowship time. We're going to be singing some songs and sharing some pizza. But in order to make that happen, we need for you to sign up on the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board out there. And that's solely so that we know how much pizza to get. We're just asking anybody that can. You don't have to do this. We don't want anybody not coming because they don't have money. We're just asking $2 a person just to contribute towards the pizza, $8 maximum per family. So we'd like to encourage everybody to come to that and share that time of fellowship with us. But we need you to sign up on the bulletin board so that we know how much to get. So please keep that in mind and plan to be with us. Now, we have this morning, after our worship service this morning, we're going to be having a fellowship meal together, and this is in honor of Elder Appreciation Day. So we're looking forward to that. And then this evening, at 5 o'clock, we will have our second Sunday Bible study over at Chuck Funk's house, and that will be at 5 o'clock also. Bible study and fellowship time. So what we'll be doing is having a discussion that will be centered around based on what we're talking about here this morning in our worship time. So those things going on. We're talking about worship. That's what this series is really all about, is recognizing that when we come together, we are standing on holy ground. It really is understanding God's holiness. Because sometimes I wonder for myself, but I wonder for us as a collection, as a church, do we really understand what God's holiness really means? And so we're going to be talking about that. Do we understand, for instance, that we come together as a body, as a family, as a church, that we come together in the presence of Almighty God?
Amen.
And what I hope to accomplish through this series of lessons that we're going to be looking at and focusing on worship and upon God's holiness is to help us perhaps maybe to, if I can, to change the atmosphere a little bit that we have when we come together to worship. You see, I've struggled with this for a little while, that I think that we're a little bit too nonchalant when we come together to worship. That's just the way I feel. I think that far too much what we do is we focus on that we come together and it's a big opportunity for us to socialize. And that's good. We need to fellowship and socialize, but that's not the primary reason we come together in the presence of God. We come to worship Him as the holy God that He is. And if we can really get to the point where we really get that, where we grasp that concept, what effect would that have upon our worship? You see? Would we, for instance, be here maybe early? Because we're really looking forward to being in the presence of Almighty God so that we can worship Him as a family? Would we get here early like we would if we were going to a concert or to a movie? You see, because we're excited about the opportunity that we have before us. And when we come together, would we consider it a privilege for us to be in God's presence and to worship Him as a holy God, or would we be considering it simply that we've checked off another Sunday obligation that we went to, quote-unquote, church today? How would our greater understanding of God's holiness, how would that affect our worship experience that we have the opportunity, as Brian talks about so often, every first day of the week, that God calls upon us to come together in His presence to worship Him? And that's what we're going to be focusing on throughout this study. What should our worship look like? Okay. Worship needs to be more than just simply following the quote-unquote five acts of worship. And that's the idea that there are five things that, you know, we're supposed to do every time we worship, and we need to make sure we get all of those covered. And when we approach worship in that way, then it almost is like a checklist that we want to go through, and as long as we check off all the boxes for those five things, then we can walk out of here feeling like we have worshiped God. The other side of that is that we sometimes can get so concerned about following those things, you see, that becomes our focus. We haven't really worshiped at all. All we've done is gone through the motions of checking off the scorecard. So worship has got to be more than just making sure we've done all the things that we're supposed to do. Are those things important? Absolutely. Absolutely. But they need to be the part of our worship experience rather than the goal of it. See? What does entering God's presence require? As we go through this series of lessons, we're going to be looking at some of these different aspects. When we enter into God's presence, what does that require of us, individually and collectively, as His church, as His family? Well, let me suggest to you a couple of things. First of all, it requires a heart of worship. That we look at our heart and we make sure that there's nothing that is there that is standing in the way of our heart and our love for God. It requires also obedience. Again, five acts of worship. Are those things important for us to do? Yes, they're things that God told us to do. And so we need to obey Him. We need to live our life in obedience to Him. And so obedience is an important part of coming into the presence of God. And then there is that living sacrifice. We just celebrated a moment ago the sacrifice that Jesus made for every single one of us.
Amen.
As He died on the cross of Calvary. Yes. His blood shed for our sins as a sacrifice of atonement. But God also calls upon you and I, every one of us, to be living sacrifices for Him. And that's part of our worship to Him. So we're going to look at some of that. What does it mean to come into God's presence? So this morning we're talking about that we are standing on holy ground. Did you realize that? That right now we are on holy ground.
Amen.
What does that really mean? This is holy ground. We've sung those songs. But it's more than just the songs. It's our understanding from the heart that when we come into God's presence, that indeed we are on holy ground. Moses, as he approached the bush that was on fire, there on the mountain of God, trying to figure out what's going on. Can you imagine what that experience must have been like? That he sees this bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. It's just continuing to burn. I think I'll go over there and check that out and find out what's going on. And as he approaches, the Lord says, "Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes," he says, "because the ground that you are standing on is holy ground." Now, we find another incident of this same thing happening. Moses wasn't the only one. Joshua, when he got ready was preparing to lead the Israelites against Jericho, the commander of the Lord's army appeared to him and told him this: "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." Here's a question. Why was that ground holy? What was so special about that ground that made it holy ground? So much so that they had to take off their shoes. And that's what God commanded. Take off your shoes because the place where you are standing is holy ground. What made it so special? Well, we need to understand that the ground by itself, by its nature, was not holy, but it was made holy by God's presence. That's why, at that time, it was holy ground, because God was there. You see, holiness involves, as I say on here, being consecrated to the Lord's service and thus being separated from the commonplace. That's what the word holy means. It is separated from everything else. And so for those moments, for those incidents that were taking place with Moses and with Joshua, God selected those places, that ground, for His purpose. And He separated that ground from all the other ground that was around there. And He designated it as holy. Because that's where God would be. You see, it is only made holy in its relation to God. Why? Because God is holy. Now, think about it in terms of us today. This building that we are in right now, this auditorium, is made of brick and mortar and glass and wood and plaster and whatever else. Okay? It is a common building like any other building around here. It's just, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's just shaped like a church. Okay? You ever notice that? You know, churches are shaped different than other buildings, most of them. Okay? And I guess that's where we kind of get this idea that because it's a church building, then it's a holy place. Well, the brick and the mortar and the wood and the plaster and all the other things that are here are no better than any other brick or mortar or plaster in any other building anywhere around. But yet, on Sunday morning, this is holy ground.
Amen.
Why? Because God is holy and He is here with us. Wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He says, there I am in your midst. And so this building by itself is not holy. It's holy because God is here.
Yes.
When we come together on the first day of the week to worship God, this is a holy room. This is holy ground. Because we have called upon God to be present with us as we worship Him. Because God is holy. As we sung a few moments ago, because God is holy, where He is holy. Look at the words that we sang a few moments ago. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. Why? We are standing in His presence on holy ground. When we are in the presence of God, just as Moses and Joshua were, we are standing on holy ground. Do we really understand that concept? Rather than it just being another Sunday morning worship time that we gather together to sing some songs and have communion and hear the preacher talk until we're tired of him talking, do we realize that we're coming into this place and that we are in the presence of Almighty God, and that makes this room holy?
Yeah.
You see, until we get that, we're going to treat it more like a social event rather than the worship experience that God wants it to be. we recognize that it is holy ground because God is here. When we recognize that, then that brings us to the understanding of that we have a responsibility to then uphold God's holiness.
Right.
Well, what do you mean by that, Russ? With, you know, Paul, how do we do that? Well, since God is holy, right? Here's one of the things that we need to understand here. Who amongst you, Moses and Miriam, as they were singing their song, this is what they said. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, and working wonders? God is a holy God. He is not a common God. He is separated from everything else in the universe. And that makes him holy. There is nothing and no one like him. Therefore, he is holy. Majestic, they sang. Majestic in holiness. We are then to worship him in his holiness. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory, due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come together, we are to worship him in that way. In the beauty and the majesty of his holiness. Well, when we live, we talk about upholding his holiness, when we live in obedience to God, then we are upholding his holiness. It's that simple. When we live in disobedience to him, then we are not upholding his holiness. Whether that disobedience is something that we are doing or not doing that he's told us to do in terms of our worship, or whether it's when we leave this place and we go out to live in our daily lives. It is so vitally important, and that's why obedience is attached to God's holiness and worshiping him as a holy God. It's so important for us to understand that obedience upholds God's holiness in our lives. When we disobey, then we don't uphold his holiness. Here's an example from the scriptures. Okay? Moses. God commanded Moses to speak to the rock.
Yeah.
And it would bring forth water. But instead of speaking to it, Moses struck the rock.
Yeah.
Okay? Find that in Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. You go over to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and here's what God says to Moses about that event. He says, on that same day, the Lord told Moses, go up into the Abiram range to Mount Nebo in Moab, across from Jericho, and view Canaan, the land I'm giving the Israelites as their own possession. There on the mountain that you have climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land that I'm giving to the people of Israel. You see, God looked at what Moses had done in disobeying him and what he had told him to do. He looked at that as not upholding his holiness. God told him very specifically, this is what I want you to do. And Moses did not obey. So not only did Moses not get to enter into the promised land with the Israelites, God's reason was because you did not uphold my holiness.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's why it's so important for us to understand God's holiness. And again, how important obedience is to upholding His holiness, so that we know that as we obey God, what He tells us to do in our lives, that indeed we are recognizing and upholding that holiness of God in our life. It is all about living in God's presence. Upholding His holiness in our lives. That requires obedience to Him. This is an opportunity, it's not a command. Some of you can't see, but those of you who are in the aisles can see that I don't have shoes on. I took my shoes off before we started. It's an encouragement to you. You don't have to. Do you recognize God's holiness? That just as God told Moses, take off your shoes from off your feet because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I'm just inviting anyone who feels. Because in this social environment, we're kind of like, I'll take off my shoes. Besides, I got holes in my socks. I want you to know, not only today, but from here on out, I want you to feel comfortable. If you want to take your shoes off as you stand on holy ground, and I know there are some people that really can't, and that's fine. Again, this is not a requirement. We're not saying you have to do this. But my purpose in this today is to cause you to really think about what this is really all about. Because we need to answer this question, why take off your shoes? What is that all about? Why did God command Moses and Joshua to take off their shoes? Why can't you wear your shoes on holy ground? Well, there are some reasons, some specific reasons for that, that I think we probably don't. I didn't really understand some of these things until I started researching. You know, part of it is just the idea of that you don't bring grime and dirt from the world into a sacred place. And that, by the way, is still practiced by a lot of people today. It's just that common thing. You said, your feet are dirty, don't bring them in here. And a lot of people, by the way, and you may be some of them, you know, don't, you know, my son-in-law is this way. When we go into his house, we take our shoes off at the door. Because he doesn't want us tracking all the dirt from out there into his house. I get that. And so that's an aspect of this. Okay? Just that idea of respect and so forth. But there's more to it. It has the idea of submission.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
Hang with me a minute and I'll help you understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Partly, the idea, the theory is because slaves usually went barefoot. Okay? When you are a slave, you have no rights. And so Israel realized that as they served as slaves in Egypt. So the idea of taking off our shoes is, in a sense, it is a sign of relinquishing your rights. When Boaz went to redeem Ruth, okay? Here's where the story gets really interesting. Ruth, being a widow, had no one to care for her, and Boaz wanted to marry her. But he did not have first rights. There was another kinsman that had the right to marry her.
Amen.
And notice what the text, in Ruth chapter 4, here's what it says. Boaz said, and this is to the kinsmen, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. the life of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. That was a right and an obligation that they had to do.
Amen.
In order to carry on her husband's name amongst the Israelites.
Absolutely. Amen.
And this kinsman of hers had that right to do so. In verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. You understand what he's doing here?
Man.
He is giving up his right,
yes,
to redeem the land and the people to another.
Amen.
And then look at what it says here. Therefore, the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe.
Amen.
Why?
Yes, sir.
Because that was a sign to them that you were relinquishing your right to something.
Amen.
That's what it was all about. You are giving up your rights. You are submitting to another what would otherwise be yours to claim. When we stand before God, therefore, we must relinquish our rights. You say, as we stand before God, we don't have any more rights. Because we are not our own. We were bought
Amen.
Out of Christ.
Amen.
We do not belong to ourselves anymore. And God calls upon us, as we come together to worship Him, to give up your rights. To give up yourself. That's why Jesus uses the language, if anyone would come after me, he must do what? Help me out here. Deny himself and take up his cross and come after me.
Amen.
Give up your rights. Give them up. That's what he's calling upon us to do. And he is allowed to do that because he is a holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He calls upon every single one of us to give up ourselves, to give up our rights, to submit to Him and His holiness. And most especially as we come into His presence. What does that mean in a practical way? Well, just for worship, for instance, you come in here, you're going to worship God. How many of you enter in here thinking about what you got to do this afternoon? And how long is the preacher going to be preaching because I got stuff to do? And whether or not this is going to happen or that's going to happen, am I going to be on time? And all the other things that Satan uses to distract us from the main reason that we are here. See? It's things just simple like that. That God calls upon us as we gather to worship Him, to recognize and acknowledge His holiness. And to then give up our rights to all of those things that are going on otherwise in our lives and yield to Him. He was getting ready to send Moses on a very, very difficult mission. In order for Moses to be successful in what God wanted him to do, Moses had to submit to God.
Amen.
Moses had to give up his rights and submit to God's will. You notice in the story as it keeps going on that Moses was kind of objecting because he really didn't want to go.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he went. Why? Because he was standing on holy ground. And at that place, in that time, Moses learned to yield to God's will. We are standing on holy ground right now. What do you need to let go of in your life in order to yield, to submit? What rights do you need to give up so that you can submit to God and His holiness? I want you to think about that while we're singing the song that Wes has chosen for us as an invitation song. The Lord's invitation is extended to anyone. That maybe there are things going on in your life that you are not submitting to God's holiness in. Will you let go of those things this morning, knowing you are standing on holy ground? Will you yield those things to God? And for anyone who's here this morning who is not yet a Christian, if you have not given your life to Christ, you've not yielded your life in submission to Him, you need to understand that you are lost. But the great news is that you can be saved right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, to yield your life to Him, and confess Him as Lord, repent of the sin that is separating you from Him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, you can do that right now. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a conversation, a private conversation or prayer with him, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up. Let's stand together.